We've been talking this morning about some things as far as how we can use collected funds, and certainly there's a difference between those that are collected and our private funds and how we can use them. And we discussed the difference between collective social activities and collective spiritual activities. And so when we look at those, they're clearly defined, I think, by Christ in Matthew 6:19-34, don't you? He talks about, where is your treasure? Is it on the things of this earth? And he discusses the things of this earth and all those things that are needful in our social life. We like the food, we like the clothes, we like all of those things that are needful, and he discusses them. But he goes on to say, seek ye first, making a contrast or a difference between spiritual things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of those things will be added unto you. So if you go after Him first, then certainly those physical or social needs will be added. When we look at that and we think about it again, let's put them up there. I don't list all social activities, obviously, that we can do collectively, but there's a list of social activities that we can do collectively. We talked about spiritual activities that He has commanded of us as we assemble together to do, and we certainly, how would we fund those? And so that's what we're going to talk about. When we look at that, we just need to keep it simple according to the authority of the Bible. We should never burden the church with planning and funding activities that are not authorized. Number one, it's wrong. Number two, we're burdening the church down because at some point we add so much to her that we can't do what we need to do. So let's take a closer look at those things that we might use for edification that He has told us to use and how they can be funded. As we pointed out, each spiritual activity that He's commanded to do in the collective requires a plan, because we have discovered that to do those, we need to assemble together, collect, accomplish spiritual activity. Now, you know, as I pointed out last week, someone asked me to preach on certain aspects of this, and so this is a continuing thought. So let's talk about the teaching and preaching. If He's commanded us to do that, what might be some aids? An overhead. Don't have to have it, but it's an aid, and it's very nice, and if you want to do that, that's fine. A computer. We have a computer back there, and we bought, I believe, Microsoft Office, and so we have PowerPoint on there, which that's what we're using. We have lights, which really helps, and we have some seats, and I'm sure you're thankful for those as long as I preach. And so you have Bibles maybe back there that you can look at, and aren't you thankful I have a microphone sometimes? I because my voice isn't always as strong. All of us aren't Mark, where we can just blast you out of the back there because he can't hear worth 2 cents and his that. All of us don't have that kind of a voice, and so it's nice, isn't it? Because it helps to understand, it helps to teach. But we could get by without those sorts of aids to carry out the command to teach or preach. We can fund those things because that's what we need to do. But those are not to be used for personal purposes. I don't come in here and borrow a bunch of this and say, well, it's mine. We know that. It's an extension of the funds that we've collected. If we got rid of some of those things and we got money for them, like the last church's building, where did the money go? Well, it went back to individual Christians. No, it didn't. It went in to fund what we're doing here. That's what you do with it, just like you do your own house at home. Now, none of these violate the command, example, unavoidable conclusion to teach. What about some additions? Well, we might decide to put some creed books in here. We pay for them. Nope. Cody's shaking his head. That would not be good. Maybe we want to just teach the law of Moses as a law to Gentiles. Right? Nope. We don't want to do that because that's an addition. We can teach about the law of Moses and we can teach about creeds, but we don't fund the idea of just doing that is the idea. How about prayer? Well, again, it's nice, isn't it, sometimes when people are praying in your seat or some people like to kneel down to pray, whatever position, we do that because that way we can't bend over and bow down. It makes it easier. Not necessary. In some places, they don't have seats and chairs. Well, a microphone's nice, isn't it? It's nice when whoever's leading in prayer can use a microphone because we can hear and we can pray along with them. And none of these violate the command, example, unavoidable conclusion to pray, even though we spent some funds to help do that. Some additions, maybe we have a prayer book we bought to another God, and we're going to use that prayer book, and there are prayer books out there like that, you know? So wouldn't it be a good idea? No, it's not. We don't want to spend money like that. How about singing? Well, some aids might be some good scriptural songbooks. Even with the songbooks we get, we have to be very careful, don't we, with the songs we sing, because we don't know that they're all spiritual, so or scriptural and spiritual. How about a leader? It's nice to have a leader, isn't it? Because if we just randomly sang, we'd be like 1 Corinthians 14. Nice to have an overhead sometimes. Some people like to put them in different churches if they can afford to what they charge you to do that. Put them up on the overhead, right? And lights are nice because some of us can't see all that well, and it's kind of nice to have the lights to be able to read the words. because we want to read the words, because we're, again, teaching with that. None of these violate the command, example, or unavoidable conclusion to sing. How about some additions to that? Well, a lot of us like rock music. We like country music. We just plain like instrumental music. Wait a second. Nope, we cannot fund those because those will be wrong. Cannot do it. It's not by the authority of God. How about the Lord's Supper? I want to mention something about this. The Lord's Supper is the funeral we remember. It's the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the command. It's also about a wedding feast. We are wedded to Him. We have become the bride of Christ. We remember that because it's spiritual. That's it. That's the person we remember. How about some aids for that? Maybe some containers to put it in, because it's kind of handy, because it would be very difficult if we didn't have anything to put the juice in. Right? Or maybe something to carry the bread around in. Is it 100% necessary? Well, we could hand it back, you know, with just our hands, but it's nice. It's nice, and we can fund that. How about a table to put it on? Because it makes it nice not to have to pick it up out of the floor. Are they necessary? No, they're aids. They're aids. But that doesn't, again, violate any of the commands to take the Lord's Supper. Some additions. Let's mix the juice. We went somewhere and they were using like that juicy juice, and it had zero grape juice in it. Zero. How can you do that? That's violating God's law. How about using leavened bread? I like pineapple upside down cake, just to let you know. So, let's add that. Cody's shaking his head now. Because it violates God's law about the Lord's Supper. How about giving? Well, again, it's nice to have a container. We could do it in a hat. We could even have somebody walk around with their hands like that, but it's not the best way to do it, right? So we use some aids. Might have a table here to put that container on and to go around and do it. Doesn't violate the command. How about, though, if we said tithing? How about if we said another day? How about if we said, let's fund it through websites? No. See, that just totally violates what God said. So now we're starting to understand that if we have collected funds, we can use those to edify one another, but only the way He's told us to. So let's look at, again, these collective things. Now let's put them in perspective. And let's consider them. And again, I'm not mentioning all social activities. But for some reason, people pick and choose among these social activities. In my lifetime, one of the things that happened to the Lord's church was putting in kitchens, and they called them fellowship halls. You know why they did? Because it's sample. You ever notice how our language changes to try to cover doing something that we have no authority for, period? You ever notice how that changes in our society, and over time, that becomes one of our words? There were words that I used as a youth and never dreamed that those same words today would be used. Why didn't we just say, let's put it in a kitchen and a dining room? Well, that didn't sound too good. If you said dining room, what does that bring to your mind? Where do the dining rooms belong? But let's call it a fellowship hall. You know, we actually have a fellowship hall. We're in it right now, and we're fellowshipping right now, and we ate the supper that we're supposed to right now, and that's our fellowship together. Did you know? This is talking about eating a common meal collectively. That's the issue. Is that okay? Well, of course it is. But can it be funded in any way by the Lord's church? Let's look. Under which spiritual activity are these kitchens and fellowship halls authorized, if you want to spend the money for them? Are they authorized under any of these? Cody's shaking his head no. Why is he shaking his head no? Because every one of us know it's not. That is not a common meal in any of those. It's not an authorized way to plan and use collected funds. Some reasons that people give for planning and funding kitchens and quote-unquote fellowship halls. Let me tell you what happened to us. I can go around the room right now, and it's interesting to me how the word fellowship has changed. Fellowship now means, well, let's just get together. Let's go have some fellowship together. Maybe Mark and I go fishing together. We have fellowship. Maybe Roger and I go have a meal. Let's fellowship together. And that's we've started that, and it sounds good, doesn't it? Did you know it's not used that way in the Bible? The word fellowship, koinonia, is only used this way in the New Testament. It's never used unless, and I want to point this out, unless it's a bad fellowship. Like, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's no koinonia. None. Okay? It's never used to talk about that. It's used once to talk about a business partnership, and that's the only time. And it talks about in Luke 5, verse 10, about a business partnership. And it's a variation of this word koinonia. And what it says is that there was two brothers that had a joint partnership in fishing, which I like. And we find it's actually three of them. James and John had it with Peter. So two brothers with another man. They were partners. That's what that word means. They were in joint participation in their fishing activities. They had a fishing fleet, if you will. And that's the way they made their money. Only time it's ever used another way. Every other time, it's talking about either a spiritual fellowship or one that's not. When we look at it, like in 1 Corinthians 1:9, called into the fellowship of His Son. Philippians 2:1, in the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to one that's very important in 1 John 1, in which we find out that Jesus came in the flesh, in which we find out that His glory came through. They had handled Him, this eternal life which had been with the Father. He'd always existed. He says in verse 3, that's how you can have fellowship with Him, is when you believe that and when you understand and know that. And you confirm that He was both God and man. Nothing in between. He goes on to say then, if we say we have fellowship with Him in verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What kind of fellowship is that? That's spiritual fellowship. Joint participation with Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. What's he talking about here? Me and Glennon going out to have some fish together? No. Not talking about that at all. He's talking about Glennon and I both walking in the light with God, then we have fellowship with each other because we have fellowship with Him. Where does the fellowship belong? With Him. And thus, then we can have fellowship with one another as long as we have fellowship with Him. If I'm not in fellowship with God, you don't want to be in fellowship with me. Let me just put it clearly. So he talks about that, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. So let's look at this. Here's some arguments that I've heard through the years that people use. They talk about these love feasts. Now that's found in Jude 12, and he talks about people would be spots in their love feast. He also talks about it in 2 Peter 2, a parallel passage to it. Jude and Peter wrote some things that were very similar. He talks about these are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. And so people look at this and they go, see there? Well, that's an authorized activity. Well, let me point out something about this. These scriptures in no way teach that collected funds were in any way used to plan or fund these feasts. Just like we're planning on going out to eat afterwards. That's not a work of the church here. We as individual Christians decided to do that, and we go do that and we fund it ourselves. We don't ask the church to get involved in that. We don't really want the church involved in that. We want that as an individual social activity. I've heard Acts 2:46 used. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There's a little problem in this. This is definitely not a work of a local church. They were breaking their bread from house to house. They were doing something in the temple separate from this. He's pointing out spiritual activities separated from social activities. Keep the social activities where they belong. Clearly not justifying this use. And let's talk about that. You find the Jews are transitioning from the law of Moses to the law of Christ. Where did they go all the time for their spiritual activities? To the temple or to a synagogue? Where did they go for their social activities? Not to the temple or the synagogue. They went to their houses. They knew that. They understood that clearly. Not a social activity. Any feast associated with what God wanted them to do was totally separate from the feast they would have as individuals. They continue to meet for spiritual reasons in the temple, and then they go from house to house to continue their social activities. They knew that. They understood that. They were very generous people, and they opened up their homes. Nothing in this Scripture in any way suggests that collected funds were used to plan or fund these common meals in the home. Because I'm going to point out something to you. If they are, then it means that I can take them out and collect them and feed my family. You can take funds out and feed them. And where are we with that? Why would we be doing that in the first place? Why would we be giving of our means and then taking it out for our social needs? Not for that. That's why. They are set apart for uses that we talked about at the beginning. Needy saints, edification, and evangelism. Another one I've heard is Acts 20, verse 11. Paul had gone down and healed this young man, not healed him, brought him back from the dead. He didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did it through him. When he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even to break, he departed. How in the world can anyone come with an individual who had been there all day, preached in the midnight, now he's eating something, suddenly have this as a kitchen or a dining room? And that the church funded this. He ate something. He had gone from the area to bring the young man back from the dead. Nothing in the Scripture shows in any way that this was planned or funded from the collected funds, or a place was provided for this from the collected funds. None of that's true. You see, all these side arguments that I hear about this, none of it's true according to God's Word. Instead, Paul would have been condemning himself, wouldn't he? Because he says in Romans 14, 16 through 19, in talking about this, discusses the fact that they had taken things and were using their liberties to discourage and cause others to sin. You think that's a good thing? So he says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. He was not, by eating that day, making it part of the kingdom of God in any way planned or funded by the church, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He'd be condemning himself. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. You remember I said, this has happened in my lifetime. In 1947, there was a man looked at denominational churches and saw all this, all these crowds they were having, and he decided that it's suddenly okay to now for us to have these kitchens and fellowship halls. 1947. No, I wasn't born then. A little bit later. I remember the first church that decided to do this in the Cookeville area where we were born. The very first one. And people said, that's wrong. And they said, no, it's not. Because crowds are more important than following God's will, and we'll just do it and try to find a scripture for it. Let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians 11:22. What did Paul say? In a discussion of the Lord's Supper, the supper we're supposed to be eating together, a supper that they had the way they did it, he said, what do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Not what it's about. Let's look at what else he said in 33 and 34. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. In other words, make sure that you set a time aside when people can gather together to do it as the assembled local church. But if anyone is hungry, the Lord's Supper is not about feeding our physical body. It's about feeding our spiritual body. If you're hungry, Mike Humrick, he's always hungry. Always. We said one time they'll never let us on a cruise ship again. They've got his picture. Of course, they got mine too with his. We're kind of in trouble together. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at the church's building, in a room that's been funded and paid for by the church. Is that what it says from the collected funds? It does not. Let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. He said, you want to come together for judgment? Go ahead. I'll judge you in it, and the rest I will set in order when I come. I'm going to tell you what. We talked about our Apostle Paul, Paul the Apostle this morning, and I'm going to tell you something. There's no one in this room has, I believe in that man totally with all my being because he was an apostle. I believe in Peter. I believe in all of them. And when they said, I will set in order You know, John would say that later on in 3 John. You know what he meant? I'll condemn you for it. You want to be condemned? You want to be judged by Apostle Paul? Well, do it. Why are we doing this? If you are hungry, eat at home. No collected funds were to be used to plan or fund meals in any way whatsoever. A place for them or anything else. No place was to be funded by the collected funds to allow for such meals. You won't find it. We've already looked at how we edify one another. That's not edification. And let me ask you a question. If you're going to do that, who would you refuse to feed? We already learned that the funds can only be used for needy saints. What if a non-needy saint, we'd be feeding them? What if it's somebody's family that we have no responsibility toward feeding like their children? We can help a needy saint. They in turn can help their family with those funds. That's their responsibility. And that's why we give them the money to do it. We don't designate to them. We don't give them things. We give them funds to take care of their own. And you know what an interesting thing about this? If you've ever read Acts 6, did you notice it's the daily ministration? Do you know why? Because if you give out large sums of funds, how do people tend to use them? You've got to do this smart, even in helping needy saints. People use the following reasoning. Now, I've heard this all my life. When I was growing up, these were issues facing the Lord's church. I want you to look around at some of these churches that started with things like this. Look at them today. Look at what they're doing today. Look at what they're doing in Abilene, Texas. Look at the church that first started the Herald of Truth. Look at what they're doing today. They are having instrumental music in their assemblies. Why? Because once you let the door open, once you look and you just use circular reasoning that we're already doing this, so it must be all right to do that, it makes it okay. Oh, so you think it's wrong to drink water in the building. I never said that in my life. I've never said that, not one time to anybody. Never said that. Never. You think it's wrong for a mother to feed her hungry child? Come on, eh? It's not the same thing we're talking about. So you think it's wrong for a diabetic to eat something when their blood sugar gets... You're just going to let them sit there and die? That's not what we're talking about. Those are not issues. Let me tell you what those are. The church is not planning or funding those activities. We don't have a time for all the women to get together with their babies and come here and feed them. We don't provide a place for that. That's not the planning and funding of the local church. Incidentally, they need to feed their babies. A diabetic may need to take care of his situation, and I'm not picking out that particular disease over any other, but I just happen to know that disease real well because it was in my family. And I know a time when Betty had to go out and get some food. It's a matter of choice. Human life takes precedence over anything we're talking about. It has nothing to do with these incidentals. These are not planned activities. But I'll tell you what, if we all planned a water social here, I'd be opposed to it. Why are you laughing? I mean, come on. Well, you know that's funny, right? We don't do that. That's why. It's incidental to what we're doing, not a planned and funded activity. Just like the bathrooms. They're there for incidental use. I'm not going to get into detail on that. Just figure that one out for yourself. What happened to the seriousness of assembling together? What happened to us that we don't put it back where God did? Where Christ did when He recognized the fact that before this kingdom was even set up, they were only, and He knew it already, but they were coming to Him for the food already. You know what He did? He quit it. I'll use what my dad used so many times. You bring them in with a hot dog, you're going to eat hot dogs. Now, why anybody would come for a hot dog, I don't know. But man, that has got to be one of the worst foods. But you know, Mike Lamb made a good point several years ago. He said, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I realize when I look around that a lot of young people don't have any place to go. And he was commenting on, he understands why a lot of these denominations and things do that, because it's a way of bringing them in. And if they can get them in there, maybe they can teach them the gospel. And that seems really good, like he was talking. He wasn't justifying, he was just talking about this. And he was saying, but our problem is, what do we need to bring our young people in with? First, in our homes, teach them what? Cody brought this up today. What's your responsibility? Teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. And then when they get older, we teach them the gospel. And then when they become Christians, we work together to teach each other the gospel and continue in it. What happened to that seriousness? It's all about fun and games anymore. Now, why do we burden the church with things God has not burdened her with? I'll tell you why. Because people don't want to open up their homes. They don't want to take time to do this anymore. They want to put it off on somebody else. Look at our society. Look at our society. So dependent on the government, they can't stand themselves. They take our tax money and use it any way they want to. And you know what's happened in the Lord's church? Taxation without representation. Tithe, 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 give, 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 and we'll use it the way we want to. And we'll promote it the way we want to. Not how God said. Here's some final thoughts. Where's authority to plan and fund these social activities or place for those activities? How about a skating park? Great. Can we put a skating rink in here? Doesn't seem to think so. How about a Super Bowl party? You know, all of us, well, okay, I'm pretty tired of the Super Bowl anymore. I'm tired of the NFL. But Super Bowl party, that would bring some people in, wouldn't it, Mike? I mean, Mike commented on that. It would work. We could project it here, and do you know how many people we'd get? To do what? Watch the Super Bowl. How about a game night? Sounds good, doesn't it? Think that's a family responsibility, or how about a funeral? Who are we honoring at that funeral? So we're going to fund a funeral for a private individual. Would we do it for non-Christian as well? I know churches have done it. How about a marriage, a wedding ceremony? Can we play some instrumental music during that? I mean, after all, just really. How about a school? Well, that's. Do you notice all these things I'm mentioning that they're being done? They're being planned and funded by out of the collected funds. How about a kitchen and I'll put it what it is, a dining room. Kitchens and dining rooms belong in homes. How about sleeping rooms? I like to sleep. I don't know about the rest of you, but I just enjoy sleeping. Can we set this up as a sleeping place? How about having a widow's home here? Maybe there's some widows can't afford to have their own. Let's put them some quarters here. We've got bathrooms. We could put a shower in. If the collected funds can be used for one social activity, the collected funds can be used for any social activity. Where's your argument? Because it becomes circular reasoning. If I can use it for that, then I can use it for this. You know how I know this? Because all of this started out in my lifetime. And some of the things that I mentioned in this didn't start out when I was younger. They've been added on. People have discovered, you know what? We can get people together. We can grow. We can be a mega church. And what do we teach them? We teach them that all of these things are important, but not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we collectively do the spiritual activities God has planned, we have enough to do. How long I've been working on these things? Not this lesson. You know how long I've been working on these things? I became a Christian when I was 13. For 53, and will soon be 54 years, I do not have all the things that we talked about downright. I still work on my singing. I still work on my praying. I still work on my studying and teaching. I still work on remembering my Lord and Savior, taking the Lord's Supper. I still work on my prayer, don't you? When do you think you'll quit? We've got a lot to do, collectively. We've got a lot to do to help each other and build each other up so that we can go away from here and do other activities that we enjoy doing as well, that God is not opposed to us doing as individuals. Let's continue those activities. Let's continue to feed Abe. Let's continue to take care of this stuff. We have many examples in the Old Testament where people decided to do things without authority. And we know God punished them. Let's take Nadab and Abihu. Wasn't that much of a shift, was it? Three things. The censer, the incense, and the fire. One of the two was wrong, and maybe both of the last two were wrong. The censer was okay. But they chose to not either mix the incense right so it was strange before God, or they used the wrong fire. Either way, it was a strange fire that came up before God. Didn't seem all that bad. Uzzah reaches up and touches the ark to hold it in place. Doesn't seem all that bad. Ananias and Sapphira just lied about how much they gave. Doesn't seem that bad. When we deviate from what God wants us to do in any way, it's that bad. We must be very careful to have authority for what we do. And I'll tell you what we have authority for. All power and all authority have been given to Jesus Christ. He passed this on to us to tell people about how to be, what they needed to do to be saved. And He clearly said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." He said, as a Christian, you need to get your life and keep your life right with God. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you.